Last week we learned, as we understand, that we are in spiritual warfare. This is real, folks. This is more real than any war you'd see on TV or any battle you have been involved in as a soldier in the U.S. Army or wherever. This is real. And it affects not just this world, but this goes cosmic. Cosmic. All that God has created. So it's very, very important. So last week we learned that the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. But even though it is the Lord's, the devil, God has given him permission to do certain things for reasons I don't know. We don't know. But God knows. And it's all for his glory. So last week we learned that the devil is a liar. That's why we have a lot of confusion in our society. We have leaders who boast about their lying, and it's obvious, and it permeates our culture, permeates our view of right and wrong. We live amongst evil, and we're led by evil. The devil is an evil liar, and he's the father of it. I mean, he just produces, and he wants you to be a part of that line, because, see, we are in spiritual warfare. We're not taking a baseball bat and hitting somebody with it. We're talking about people's minds and their hearts and their desire, not for God, but their desire for things. And they will do anything to have, as we used to say, more money, more money, more money. They don't care. But God has called us out of that, and he wants us to see that the devil is a liar. Not only is he a liar, he is the father. He is the originator of lies. He told Adam and Eve, God has said, but you will not surely die. He lied to them, and they died. And he wants you to believe the lie, that you can disobey God, that you can reject him and still be happy and joyous and have life and life everlasting. No, it doesn't work that way. It is through Jesus Christ. And we don't need to fear, even as we heard in that song. No fear. Why? Because Jesus is a warrior, but he fights a different way. And he wants us to use methods that are demonic, like lying, like killing, like hatred. The devil is a liar, but the devil is more than a liar. He's also a murderer. He does not have your best long-term interest in mind. He wants to destroy the whole world. He is evil. Evil to the core. In John 8:44, Jesus told the people of that day, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. What is his desire is? He is bloodthirsty. You can hear so-called leaders make it plain. Not only bringing chainsaws to meetings, but making it plain that we're after you. We're going to get you. We're going to destroy you. See, that's not God's way. God's way is not of killing people and destroying people. That's your father, the devil. Who is your daddy? Is your pastor, you know, playing the dozen or something? No, I'm not. I want you to understand and to know that your father, who gives life, does not come from lying and plotting and taking and raping and raping. You say, why do you say that twice? You think about it. That's what he's got in mind. You don't want to follow that. The devil is a liar. Not only a liar, but he is a murderer, it says. And he was a murderer from the beginning because he told Adam and Eve the lie. You will not die. You don't have to follow. You won't die. If you eat that, you won't die. That's a lie. And they died. And they were inspired by Satan. He ought to have a big sign on the back of his motorcycle showing death, because that's what he's done all over. It's not life, it's death. And he wants you to come into that cult of destruction and of death. Jesus said, I did not come to bring death. I came to bring life, and life more abundantly. More life, more life. But from the beginning, the devil is not only a liar, as I said, but also a murderer. And he wants you to come into that cult of destruction, of murder, of taking from others so that you can have more. That doesn't work. That's not life. That's death. And so God has called us not into the cult of death, not in taking from people, of raping and stealing and bragging about it, but he's brought us into life, and life more abundantly. And again, I want to warn you, the way of Satan is the way of death and murder and doing any and everything. He'll take not only your life, he'll take your whole country. It's all about how much he can get, not how much he can give. God's come to give us life and life more abundantly. But what's been promulgated in the world today is me, 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 I give, take, I want more money, more this, that, other thing. And it does not bring peace. It does not bring joy. It does not bring life. It brings death. And that's why he comes. And he wants us to have that same mindset, to come in and take over, whether it's taking nations, whole countries, to taking people, putting them on trains and putting them in buses and cramming them into anything you can be crammed into and life be taken. But you've got the money. Don't buy into that. Please, I beg you, come out of that. Jesus has come that we might have life and life more abundantly. There are only two ways of life. One is taking, which leads to murder. And the other to giving, which leads to life. And life forevermore through faith in Jesus Christ. I want us to see this. And Father, I just pray that you would, through your Holy Spirit, speak to the hearts and minds of anyone listening to this message, and that we become more like you, and that we would turn and repent and turn away from evil. Help us, dear Lord. Let us not be captivated by it or captured by it, but to surrender ourselves to you and your way of giving and your way of love. Help us with that, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts as we study this now, in Jesus' name. Let's turn to John 8 and verse 44. He's speaking to his disciples and to other people of Jewish descent that day. And he said to them in a very forceful way, John 8, 44. Can't speak this plainly today, but Jesus nailed it. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and says, you belong to your father, the devil. You belong. Who do you belong to? You belong to your father, the devil. John 8:44. Jesus wasn't trying to necessarily win friends. He was trying to win souls. And sometimes you have to tell the truth. All the time you got to tell the truth. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. And what does their father desire? Just look around. You want to know what's happening? You know what the desire is? Look around. I won't even give you the answer. It's in many dimensions, though. You want to carry out your father's desire. He was that murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. Now, some may think, well, Pastor, you're talking about him being a murderer, and that means taking a gun to somebody that I don't do. No, I'm not talking about that kind of murder. I'm talking about the murder where you deal with hearts where you deal with lust and covetousness. Jesus says, John 3:15, anyone who hates his brother. Now, isn't loving a brother when you take from them, when you promise to take their lives and their livelihoods and their way of life, and to take, as I said, whole countries? People are crazy, but they're crazy in the devil's way. Jesus says, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. None. That's what's out there. It's murder. It's death. It's destruction. I believe, and I think many believe, that in the end, God wins. In the end, Jesus will reign and rule. In Matthew 6, verses 14 through 15, and here's the point, the whole point of this sermon today, I titled the sermon, Forgiveness is Spiritual Warfare. This warfare we're in is spiritual. It's not physical. So the title is Forgiveness is Spiritual Warfare. But the point, what I want us to get and how I want, and I think we all want us to live, that forgiveness is victorious in spiritual warfare. When you're in spiritual warfare, it is forgiveness that wins the day, that produces the victory. Forgiveness. Forgiving others. It's how you're going to win something. Forgiving. You ought to be taking. No. Forgiving. Jesus came to bring the gospel. And it's the good news of life, not death. Of forgiving, not destroying. That I'm going to get you and I'm going to crush you and I'm going to take everything you've got, your life, everything. He didn't come that way. He didn't come that way. For if you forgive men, even evil men. I'm looking at now at Matthew 6, 14 through 15. Because if we get to using the same techniques and the same methods that evil people use to get back at evil people. Now think about this. Evil plus evil does not equal righteousness. And so just because somebody did evil against you, you're going to go do evil against them, and therefore you will be successful, happy, healthy, joyous? No, not at all. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is victorious in spiritual warfare. Over hate, over getting back, over taking, nothing. Nothing. Is better than love. For if you forgive men, and nothing is greater, and there's no greater love than forgiving someone who's wronged you. For if you forgive men and women when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, not through your machinations of strength and power, you're entering the devil's realm. You can't win in that realm. This is spiritual warfare again. You can't take evil spiritual methods and overcome evil with it. It takes the Lord. It takes the power and the spirit of the Lord. For if you forgive men, when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. You want the forgiveness and the love and the power and the strength of our Heavenly Father. When we get on our enemy's turf, you don't fight from your enemy's turf. You fight from above. God's turf, God's mountain, God's power. Not getting dirty with the devil, and start using his methods or whoever your enemy is to try to overcome? No. You want to be on high ground, not on low ground. You don't want to go down low to get up high. For Jesus said, if you forgive men when they sin against you, that's going high. And it takes supernatural power to forgive somebody who's wronged you. It's not an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. For if you forgive, he said, men, when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. You see that? But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. I don't think you want to be on the same ground using the same methods of the person who's defeated you. You need something new, better, stronger. That's Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel. Who wronged you? Who have you separated yourself from? You know, in the gospel, in the epistles of Paul, the whole thing is about the spiritual. And he even gets into the division of people, where the Jews were separated from the Gentiles. The Jews thought they were better than the Gentiles. And the Jews didn't want to have anything to do with the Gentiles. But Paul comes and explains that it is through Jesus Christ, not through you being a Jew, that gives you eternal life, that brings all the blessings of God. It is not your race, it is your grace. It is not what country you've had to flee from. It's not from this or that. Or shipping thousands of people somewhere else. That's not God. God brings all nations together. Not in hating others or saying we're better than others and give the old sign, that sign of superiority. It's not so. And if we get on the same grounds and using the same methods of Satan, you will be destroyed. You will be annihilated. It doesn't work. It is something we need to repent of. Now let's bring it home from over there to over here. Is there anyone that you could think of whom you have distanced yourself from? You know how those people are? What people are they? They're the people created in the image of God. Who has maybe wronged you in your life? Has anyone been ever wronged? I think we all have. It is not the being wronged, it's our response to it. I think I've told you a story before where many years ago in the ministry, had an individual that, I'll just say there was an individual. And God had me to forgive that individual. And here, before, I think it was maybe 15,000 people, the pastor said in his sermon much like this one, if there's anyone here that you hold something against, anyone here who's hurt you or done you wrong, I want you to go to them now and put your arms around them and tell them that you have forgiven them and that you love them. I didn't want to do that. I really didn't want to do that. And here's that person I could see 15 rows over. Say, Lord, do I have to? Lord, give me the strength. And by the strength of the Lord, I walked over and put my arm around a person who I knew was my enemy and had done much to try to besmirch my name. And I told him that I loved him. And I wasn't lying. Because I had to put myself aside. This is not about me. This kind of love, this kind of forgiveness. You see, the devil has the opposite side of forgiveness. The devil would go over there, boom, smack him in the mouth. Or have nothing to do with him. I don't want to follow the devil. You don't want to follow the devil. There's no life in that. God has called us to a warfare that is not fists, it's not guns, it's not by money, it's not by anything but the blood of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is spiritual warfare. It is warfare with the devil, but using the armament of God. And that armament is love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. Again, I want you to, I'm gonna kind of end this sermon today. I don't want to go way, way long because I got a whole lot else I want to say. But I want you as an assignment and me, I want you to think about anybody that has wronged you. Anyone that you hold your nose and say, I just can't stand that person. That's war. And in this war, God comes through the Holy Spirit and has a new creation. And he comes to reign and rule, not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And by my spirit, we're all red, black, and blue, black or white, yellow, this or that. We're all one in Christ. Who may you be holding a grudge against? Maybe someone of a different political viewpoint. Maybe one who is, I just don't like them folk, or you know what it is, Pastor? I just, you know, I have nothing against them, but I just, I'm kind of icky. Now, nobody ever thinks like that. Nobody ever reacts like that. But you ask yourself, are there people I just don't want to be around? And I kind of distance myself from them? What if you were called? I'm going to wait till next week for this part of the sermon. What if you were called to embrace both physically and spiritually someone who caused you trouble? This is in the Bible. I'm going to show you next week. Someone who caused this person trouble, who caused one of the apostles trouble and pain, who betrayed him. I'm going to tell you about it. And how he did not allow his hatred and his looking down on that person. I don't have to do with that person no more. No, do I have to? No. Love overcomes all of that. Love wins the battle. Love wins the battle. It's spiritual warfare. This is about your heart and soul and my heart and soul. Not about what that person did a few years ago or many years ago or no years ago. You, whether you realize it or not, I, whether we realize it or not, are in spiritual warfare. And the best thing we can do when we're in that situation is to quickly surrender to the Lord, to quickly come and forgive that person. Even if you don't like that person. It ain't about like. You think God likes everything we do? No, he loves us though. Do you like everything your children do? No, but you love them. See, forgiveness is victorious in spiritual warfare. It's just not spiritual warfare. It is victorious. It's something the devil cannot win on, but something that we can proclaim and that we can spread and bring love and joy and peace to the world. What the world needs now is God. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Father, forgive us of our rotten attitude sometime. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us of our hatred, of our prejudices. Cleanse us from that, Lord. Give us a new heart, new lives, in new ways. And even the people that we'd just rather not be around or work with, got to go to the job, need that money, all that, let's cleanse that from us. Let us be light and love. Forgive us and empower us, Lord. And speak to our hearts this next few days until next week and we get more into this subject. Thank you, Lord, for showing us. Thank you for forgiving us. As you have said that, thank you, Father. I'll just keep that for next week. But I just thank you, Lord, and I repent of it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. It is only through abiding in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ do we have strength, do we have love to be able to love others who don't love us. And to be victorious in spiritual warfare, we must abide in the vine. And as we eat and drink today, we are abiding in the vine. We are abiding in the body and the blood of Jesus and are therefore strengthened. The Apostle Paul, he wrote this, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We proclaim it, Lord Jesus, and we ask it that you would bless this bread and bless this wine, that we will be able to abide in your body and blood and be able to go and share this good news of the gospel to all that you bring to us, to all who you lead us to. Let us be bread and let us be wine unto them. And if there are any listening here now, even through Zoom, please receive the body and the blood of Jesus. Please receive what he has done for you and abide in him. Be consumed with his life so that you might have life and share that life with others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we eat and drink, let's listen to this song and let's sing about it as well. The Lamb that was slain.
Is King of all creation, the Lamb who was slain, and who alone could pay for our redemption, the Lamb who was slain. He is worthy,
is God, yet clothed as human.
The Lamb
who
was slain.
And who alone has crushed the power of Satan.
The Lamb who was slain.
Was slain.